The Trash Horse Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, Smashmaster Derby Parts, and Derby Ink Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Ink. The Wadena Grand Slam, August 16th, Wadena County Fairgrounds, Wadena, Minnesota. And the Keystone Nationals, a Bo Lockwood Motorsports production, July 19th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, another busy Wednesday here. As we got White Shark Media giving us a call. We're going to pass on that one for the moment. But that's why we do it live.
That's right.
We got Ben Haas joining us here. He's getting ready to put the final chapter into his 2014 season here in a couple weeks, the fall cleanup show over in Morris with Total Destruction Derby Productions, and coming from SBM Motorsports headquarters in New Hampshire. We got Steve Buckham here with us as well. We'll be talking a little bit about Hartford Fair. We'll be talking a little bit about Woodstock and Shenandoah County, where the Gokenhours, they busted up all kinds of stuff. Mark Wolf's wife picked up a win on Monday. We're going to be talking with Billy Orndorff, who won on Tuesday. We're going to be getting with Jamie St. Mary here in a little bit, following his win in the limited well division at Hartford Fair. And then we're also going to be talking with Scott Drevenek out in Ohio, who... This story is, we're going to actually be talking with him in about middle of the show. We're going to talk to Jamie St. Mary first, but Scott's situation is something that really needs to be put out there. Scott had an accident at work where he suffered a pretty serious concussion. And a lot of the guys out there that drive derby cars, if they have a head injury of any sort, they sort of try to gut it out. Uh-huh. They say, well, that doctor doesn't know. They're going to be a hero. They're a man. They're not going to listen. And they go out there and they drive a couple times and they might get their bell rung again, and they're putting themselves at some pretty serious risk. I mean, it's layered concussion syndrome, which is the same thing that affects boxers, football players, any contact sport, you can run into this. And Scott was forced to sit out for 10 months, and he sat out for 10 months. He didn't drive. He stayed close to the sport so he didn't fall behind. And we're going to talk with him a little bit about this. Sat out for 10 full months. And you don't see guys sit out and get back in. And not only when he got back in, he came out and he won. Uh-huh. So that was a really, really cool story. And he did everything right, because the Tuesday before the Derby, he went to the doctors again to make sure. And I thought that was just fascinating. So we're going to be talking with him about it. Congratulations to Matt Gaskin Sr. coming away with a win at the Caledonia Fair with Kenny Swingle. Overseeing that show, we've seen him run a couple times this year, so that was
Junior had some bad luck.
Yeah, it didn't go well. Go the best over there. But there's a lot going on. Still waiting for more information to come back from out in Shenandoah County. Mark Wolf's wife won Monday night in the full size division. The Gokenhour clan was sending stuff. Shane Hammond on Tuesday night, we've seen Shane run a couple times. He was hitting everything in sight. The car wasn't plated or cheated. He ended up breaking the bell housing. He got down to third or fourth, and Billy Orndorff came back to win that. I think that was his first win down there probably since maybe 2011, and he's a guy who's won down there a ton. We saw his car at the Bash for Cash, okay. His road car. It was the Electra that was on the road had all the gears and had the propane tanks to make it look like a throw fire and stuff. So that was, mm-hmm. it was good to see him back in Victory Lane down there. We'll be talking with Billy a little bit later on. But how's your trip back to New Hampshire from Hartford Fair?
Oh, it was good. It's nice to be back somewhere that's familiar for a couple of days anyway.
You've been logging some miles this summer.
Yeah, with this last trip, I just broke 12,200 miles.
Jeez. A lot of miles for derbies.
yeah it's been a good season. I picked up my production. I've done demolition derbies. I've also added a couple more stunt shows and monster trucks, and always looking to add more. I hope to do even better next year.
How long before you start doing pro wrestling again?
I really only did that because my younger brother is involved in that, and I kind of wanted to help support him. It was a good time, and if he ever asked me to get back into it, I'm sure I'd climb back in the ring for that.
You weren't wrestling, though. Let's make that clear.
That's right.
You're
no,
not
I was
wrestling.
The commissioner.
He was the commissioner
for an organization. Yeah, I created the matches, and it was a good time. It was a good time for sure.
They had wrestling at the Far Pavilion. Mm-hmm. On the other side, we had at the Brockton Fair. We were situated right there, adjacent to the Midway, and then on the opposite side of the track is where they had this little expo center, this little pole barn thing, open sides, and two nights or three nights they had wrestling over there, and we couldn't find Steve for a while because he was over there trying to make a deal mm-hmm. for a one night only appearance. I think
hanging with Jimmy Valentine.
Yeah.
Last year, Brutus the Barber Beefcake was over there.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Old Brutus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he's got to be in a wheelchair by
I know.
Now.
That dude's been around for a while.
Old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting Jamie St. Mary on the line here in just 1 second.
The winner.
Yeah. How,
boy, what a show.
How good
on,
was that man. Show, huh?
My goodness. If anybody earned that win, Jamie sure did. He was wrecking stuff with the front of that car, and I believe he had a 75 Impala front bumper in front of that, as did a few other people. And they were just really bending really weird for some reason. I don't know if it's just a combination of having real hard cars or what, but two of them snapped in half, and Jamie's was bent real bad in the middle.
Yeah, LB and broke his man. Bumper right in the center. Just broke it right in half.
Lack a plate and a bumper.
I don't think you're going to get any plated bumpers through, were you? I don't know. They were doing a pretty good job in inspection.
8 foot of flat stock will get you a long ways.
By the end of the day, I'm pretty sure the battery in the frame scope was dead.
Yeah, it was getting a workout, that's for sure. On the topic of workout.
It even got used in the stock and compact division.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. You got to keep it fair. Yep. Got to keep it fair and keep it even. Jamie St. Mary on the line with us on the DirtyParts.com hotline. Jamie, congratulations. Second win in the month of August. You won on Monday night up there at the Franklin County Fair in Malone, and then you've added now the Hartford Fair in that Riviera. Tell us a little bit about what this month has been like.
It's been pretty crazy for me.
I bet.
We've built a lot of cars and been pretty fortunate to get a couple wins under our belt.
What's it like to go with that Riviera down to Hartford Fair and come away with a win at a show of that caliber? I mean, you ran down there last year. You ended up second with a much larger car. You had a Buick, I believe, down there last year. This year, you go with a little bit shorter wheelbase, and you end up coming away with a win.
If it wasn't for the crew that I've got, I would have never made it. That's first off. As far as the car, I don't know, I was kind of impressed with the car after, you know, the heat. It wasn't a real hard heat. Definitely wasn't like the first heat. But as far as the car, I mean, it was a good, clean car that I'd bought, and I thought it was as good or better as the one from last year. Obviously, the one I had last year wasn't built quite the same, but
right.
they're both same, you know, good cars, you know.
I mean, what
Hansen's car wasn't there, you know. There's a lot of characteristics similar to Pete's car.
I was going to bring up that point. I mean, what did you learn last year in being around Pete Hansen's car? Did that weigh in at all in your decision to go with the Riviera?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to be fair and honest with everybody. After getting beat by Pete Hansen last year, when I left there, I trucked home with my brother and I said, next year I'm building a car like Pete. I'm going to do my best to... I mean, I got no pointers, no nothing from Pete. I just based it on looking at his car, standing back from where I was, and that was it. I said, well, I'm going to wing it this time. If it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. Uh-huh. And it seemed to work.
Yeah, you guys did a hell of a job putting it together. I mean, it looked real good. I mean, you aren't slouches in the building part of it by no means.
to be honest with you, we kind of – just winged it together. That's all we did. We, like I said, we didn't have no pointers from anybody. I just kind of looked at Pete's car and I said, well, it looks like this is kind of where it was tilted, so this is where I'm going to do it. This is how we're going to do it. And we worked on it for like 5 nights straight, me and four or five guys, and uh-huh. it turned out well. I was not impressed with my bumper, but the rest of the car I was.
You need a little flat stock in there. That'll help out.
That one inverted on you. I got a little bit nervous for you myself when I saw that thing was starting to go inside out. But it ended up working out okay. I mean, what's your take on the Riviera now, having built one and sitting behind the wheel of one and winning with one? Is it something that you're gonna?
You need to build at least two.
I have two more sitting here in my driveway that are gonna be built.
Where are those gonna go?
Probably both of them are gonna go to Hartford next year.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Nice.
That's good to know.
That's a pretty good strong vote of confidence for that show, I guess, if you're gonna bring back two cars right away.
Well, one is gonna be mine, one's gonna be Scott's, so I told him we gotta try it one more time and we're gonna kind of build them. There's a couple things we're gonna tweak a little bit for next year, but that's probably where we're gonna most likely go with them.
Are they both 74s, Jamie?
One is, one isn't.
Okay.
Yep.
I heard the 74 is the one to have.
Well, I mean, there's a little difference between a 74 and a 5 and a 6, so.
Yeah. You can still make them tough.
I have to ask.
I was amazed by the frame rails in the front. You know, they were still as straight as they were when I went in. Uh-huh. And after buckling that bumper, you would have thought that the frame rails would have started to buckle a little bit, but it was still pretty straight.
Yeah, bumper buckling, Jamie, I think, helped quite a bit.
Right.
I got to ask you, Jamie, did you not believe me? I was, during the red flags, I tried to give all the drivers a little bit of a rundown of what their cars look like over the mic, and I was trying to give you some idea of what your front end looked like, and you immediately turned to Brett and started yelling at him for his opinion, so I kind of felt like maybe you didn't believe me and you wanted a second opinion on what I was telling you.
It's funny you say that, because when the red flag did come out, I heard you say it, and then I had kind of inquired to Brett, and then Scott had come over to my car, and he poked his head in, and he kind of said to me, he's like, what are you doing going backwards? He's like, your front is still straight, go with this thing. So I'm thinking, okay, well, the front's holding up, so I guess I better go.
How's that car compared to some other stuff that you've run? I mean, back at home, you got the nickname Psycho when you were driving Imperials and stuff out there, and I've seen you run a lot of GMs in the last couple of years up there in Franklin County. Where does this Riviera rank?
All right, we got a show that's coming up next year. It ranks at the top of my list now. Next year that they're going to allow Imperials to come back, and I've already called the promoter and asked him if I can run a mid-70s tilted GM in with Imperials. So
where's this?
Where? Yeah, go on. Tell.
Plattsburgh, New York.
Plattsburgh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
Kyle Corrier goes up there a lot.
I haven't had him in a couple of years, but they're going to bring him back. So after I got back, I kind of mentioned to the guys, I'm like, I'd like to try one of these against, you know, Imperial cars, and the guys are up for it, so I'm gonna try to find one more, hopefully, to go out to that show.
Huh. You're not gonna just reclip this one from the back end?
No, one of the kids that helped me, he didn't get a chance to run this year, so I gave him the car. I'm just gonna pull my motor out, and I gave him the shell, and he's gonna do whatever he wants with it. I told him he could have it for helping me, you know.
That's cool.
Nice.
So is your season done then at this point, or are you going to come out one more time?
Say it again?
Are you done for the year now? Is that the end of your season?
Yeah, myself.
As crazy as it sounds, I haven't been there in like 4 years. Three of us are going to go down and run in the state fair. We got no spectacular cars. We're taking down junk. I got a $500, you know, old rusty Crown Vic. I'm just going down to spend the day with my wife and my kids and smashing the derby because my kids like it.
Right.
That'll be the end of my season.
Is Chris doing a show up there this year? Chris Musa at the logging company.
Yeah, he's supposed to have his derby. As far as the state fair, he was involved in an accident back a few years ago, and he got hit pretty hard in the head in the derby because of the bouncing around in the car and hitting your head off the doorpost and stuff like that. He can't do much derbying anymore because of his head.
Right.
He was in an accident, so.
Yeah, but he still hosts a derby at the logging joint every October, maybe. I don't remember when it is.
Third week in September every year.
There it is.
Uh-huh.
And that is going to happen this year as well.
Yeah, he put it on last year free of charge. It's an invite derby. I think last year they had around 60 or 70 cars. Yeah,
can you imagine 60 cars at an invite?
Yeah, it's run what you brought.
It's crazy. With Brown, and he supplies trophies for everybody. They don't accept one dime from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's free for anybody to go watch, and just an awesome day for everybody, you know.
And it's all day.
Yeah.
It's all day.
It
goes
it is all
11, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and it goes till dark at night.
All day.
That's a good time. That's a good time. Sounds
and,
like.
And they just do it for fun. I mean, what do you think of, on the topic of that Run What You Brung stuff? They added a new element this year up there at your hometown fair with Total Destruction, the 5-foot inspection rule on the last weekend of the fair, and it was pretty much Run What You Brung. I mean, what is that? Is that going to gain some traction? Is that going to hang around? Is that something that your camp, I mean, your power team guys, you've had. You had 8-10 drivers there on Monday for that V8 feature-only format, and then turn around later on in the week, and there wasn't a ton of cars there. Is that going to gain traction and hold on up there, or is the trend going to stick with more of the stock-style builds?
I hope so, but with the car that Matt got, car that we bought from the Dixon, or Matt bought from the Dixon kid.
Well, Dixon bought it, yeah.
There's a lot of problems and people talking about the car, so nobody wants to try to compete against it, you know?
Right, right.
The thing of it is it just don't matter. I mean, if those cars like that, everybody, you go for tire shots. I mean, it's we've been down this road before with our shows with Imperials, you know? It's just everybody uses a scapegoat not to run. I mean, now that it's out there, it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's going to be there again next year. If I have anything to do with it, we have a little bit different format that we had conversations about. But that's got to be talked about. But I think Jamie liked the rollover competition the most this year. I think.
Yeah, I had a blast.
I know you got with Jacob's hooked now. He's hooked.
Well, my kid, you know, with age, you get a little bit of fear when you get older, and he's kind of young yet. So.
Oh yeah.
That's the reason he won. So I said, you know, over time, I said, you're going to get more and more skittish doing that. I said, you won, but I said, you know, everybody looked at me thinking, you know, well, he's crazy. He's going to win this. Well, Jacob goes out and beat me, and I kind of let my friends down that thought I was going to win it. And Jacob ends up beating me. So
yeah.
I got to kind of retaliate on him next year. Yeah. I got to beat him.
I think everybody had a good time, though. I mean, that's what I was hoping for, that you know, I'm not a big fan of a rollover, but it seemed like I actually had a good time. I mean, watching you guys, I mean, you had a lot of fun joking and kidding around. I mean, it actually seemed like a real good time, really.
I've heard nothing but positive things of it, and I've actually heard, I don't know, probably 15, 20 people say that they want to get into it, whether or not they will.
What? Right. What? Dude, I'm telling you, it's wild. It's wild. I mean, I'm happy to hear the good response. I really am. I mean, it's
those rollover guys. I mean, rollover guys are crazy.
Well,
they're
crazy. A lot of people had a misconception. I mean, they asked me about cages and everything else. I'm like, I don't care if the inside of the car looks like a NASCAR. You know, it's safety.
Just be safe.
Safety first. You know, and when you think about it. The more you keep the body lines out and the car pretty much not caved in, I mean, that's your chances of rolling her over a little bit easier and keep them lines out, you know?
It just, the whole thing is just, it's just mind blowing to me but I guess some people think that Demolition Derby guys are crazy too, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
There's some people up this way.
There's a few things that we're going to tweak for next year. We're going to do a little better job on our protection over the driver's compartment. It was a last minute thing as far as putting the cars together, but
yeah.
For next year, I know for us, we're gonna build like a 4-point cage over like the top of our head up to the front door post and across the front of the windshield and then back down the other side, just because of the door post coming in is kind of dangerous for your neck, you know.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah, yep. Absolutely. Steve, there's a guy that runs rollovers at Wheel Days in September that comes from your neck of the woods, comes all the way down for this, and I forget his name, but there's a guy up there like you were talking about having dedicated cars for this that they just use and use and use and use and use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had one of the Woodbugger shows a few years ago that was in New Hampshire and Cheshire, New Hampshire, Cheshire Fairgrounds. They had a rollover show there. They used a ramp that Jim built, and people showed up with these cars and they're just dedicated rollover cars. That's what they built them for. And you know, Ben, you're talking about having the body lines out. Some of these people when they built their cages, they built them with curved bars so that as the roof caved in and everything, it actually kind of rounded out the top of the car.
Exactly.
And it seemed to help them to kind of get their rollover. It was pretty neat. Yep.
The science of the rollover car.
Well, Jamie and them guys, I mean, Jamie and Joey, what was it, Jamie, the Hellraisers you were saying? The stunt group?
Yeah, the Hell Drivers, yep.
Yeah, the Hell Drivers. They said one of the dudes that was big in the Hell Drivers, actually, the last rollover they had up there, what'd he do, rolled like 12 times or something down a straightaway?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, he took off. They took off. He hit it like 40 miles an hour, there, everybody was saying up there. I think Ross's son there was telling me about it.
Oh, my God.
He said
you guys
just
must be talking about Terry Gappa. Terry Gappa from Massachusetts used to be part of the Hell Drivers with Tony Peterson's.
Well, I don't
he
know.
Did a lot of that stuff.
The way them guys talk is he was a local guy. Wasn't it, Jamie, a local guy?
Well, we did have a local guy at one time, but there was a guy that ran with the Tony Peterson show that was did the same thing. Like, he had, you know, 8, 10, 12 rolls. It was nuts.
That's crazy.
Wow. It just makes the ambulance personnel cringe.
Exactly. I mean, your head's like a ping pong ball in there.
I did one roll. I couldn't imagine doing 12, how sore I would be. My neck was sore for like 2 weeks.
Well, that's actually one of the things I wanted to ask you about before we let you go here. We've got Scott Drevenek coming up here in just a few minutes. Jamie, you've had the chance now. You ran the four-door, the four-door GM in Malone. You had Illumina in Malone, and now you've had a Riviera. Which of the big car, you had the compact, you had sort of a mid-sized car. Which one made you the most sore?
The compact.
It's not the first time we've heard that, is it?
I'm not the smallest dude you've ever seen. But somebody as large as me in such a small compartment, it tends to hurt.
Yeah.
When you can't move around.
That's funny.
I have a question for Jamie before we let him go. Jamie, next year you said you're bringing two cars, one for you, one for Scott. Are you guys going to be first on the list to sign up to escort the Fair Queen onto the track?
I don't know if she'll let us, but I will if they let me.
Jamie, we had Scott this year. Sorry, Jamie this year and Brett Rellier, they escorted the Fair Queen and the Alternate Queen out to the track for their introductions, and we think that the good luck of the Fair Queen rubbed off on Jamie for that Derby.
Huh. Could be.
She was pretty happy about it.
It definitely did. If she had any luck, it rubbed off on me. That's for sure.
Did it, did Pete or Brett in the past escort the Fair Queen out into the starting lineup for the feature, or into their introductions? Do you remember?
I think this was probably the first time they were escorted out in a car, but in the past they have gotten into cars after the heats and taken pictures in the cars.
Right.
So I'd have to go back through my pictures and see if they're in there.
We got to see if there's any something to this.
It didn't rub off on Brett. He broke a bell housing.
Brett broke that, and that was tough. I really thought he had some pretty good odds of winning that thing too.
Oh, he's a smart driver.
Very smart. Very smart. And Jamie did a great job, too. Real precision. Made the right hits when it counted.
Drove a hell of a Derby, Jamie.
Well, man, congratulations.
The wall for you too.
Yeah, that is 100% true. You gotta make sure you stay off of those. Jamie, man, I appreciate you coming on and talking a little bit about Hartford Fair and Malone. And it's good to hear that you're planning on going back already and you got the cars ready to go.
Yep, we're excited.
Well, congratulations again, and we'll be in touch here before too long.
Okay, buddy, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye now. Bye. There goes Jamie St. Mary. Congratulations to him again on his win.
For sure.
And at the Hartford Fair.
What a good
Fair.
Guy he is.
Isn't he? I mean
my goodness, he just gave away his trophy from the other night there too. Not Hartford, but the night before or whatever that he had run. He gave his trophy to a fan in the stands and stuff.
He gives all his trophies away. Gives them all his trophies away to the fans, to the kids and the fans. But no, like to touch on that, Steve too. I mean, that whole group is a hell of a group of guys. The whole power team: Jamie St. Mary, Joey, Jacob, Zira, Scott Cook, the tons of other guys. I can't even remember their names, but top notch guys up there. Always fun to talk to, joke with.
You know, it's funny, Ben. It's like anywhere else you go. Once you run with a group of guys, like, you get naysayers that say, "Oh, well, you need a team or whatever." And I was looking through some of the Facebook comments, and there was a comment on one of Jamie's pictures and I don't remember who it was, but somebody had said, oh, well, of course you won because you have to have 30 of your buddies there at the Derby with you. And I was happy to see Jamie come up and say, hey, I was the only person from my area who was 6 hours from home, and I still brought home the win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know? Exactly.
So that was cool.
Yep. And LB Fedicek came away with a win in one of the stock shows, and Andy Vona won the compact feature out there. It was a good program across the board. Andy told me in the pits, he said, I'm gonna, Kevin's never won before. We're gonna give him a chance at winning. And Sheldon and Whitman ended up getting stuck. Kevin was still running without a problem, and Andy proceeded to full track him until it was over. Andy won, and then he turned around and kept his trophy. Didn't even let Sheldon or didn't let Kevin touch it or look at it. No. But Kevin did get the fan award, right?
Yeah, fan's choice.
Yeah,
which is a huge trophy and $400 on top of what else he had.
Nice. And Kevin, I mean, you'd have thought that he won. He was pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Drevenek, he's a winner. Freebie out there at the Lorain County Fair. Freebie, yep. And came with the win. You know, congratulations, Scott. Appreciate you making some time out of your busy construction schedule and to chat with us. I hope everything today went well for you.
Yeah, it was just a long day, you know. Long day out in the sun.
It was a little challenging, but we found a way to make the schedule work for everybody. And we've got Scott now. Scott sat out for 10 months. And he was able to stay close enough to Derby where he didn't completely lose touch with it and leave the sport completely, and was looking forward to this day. Went to the doctors to get a concussion issue, rechecked, checked again on Tuesday, turned around and drove in the Lorain County Fair and came away with a win and didn't Ironman it, didn't rush his recovery, and it paid off for you, man. Congratulations. What was it like sitting on the sidelines for 10 months, still being around the cars and being around all of it and just not being able to drive?
Well, I mean, I'm always going to, go to the derbies and, support my, my buddies and stuff. And, what I do, what I mean?
At the same time, still, though, it seems like we hear the story where guys come rush themselves back from head injuries, whatever it might be, in any combination of sporting situations. And they're not ready to come back, and ergo, they don't operate at the level when they ultimately were injured. Or you see derby guys where if they have something that keeps them out of the sport for an extended period of time, they don't come back. Were you close enough to it to where you never really got out of it? Did you feel like you were behind it all when you did get back into the car, having been away for 10 months? Did you feel like there was any learning curve getting back into it? Or was it just another day at the office?
No, it was just another day at the office. I try to keep up on what's going on, and I go to a lot of derbies a year, and I look at a lot of cars and mm-hmm. pay attention, as a builder, I think you have to. And, as far as the accident went, I don't know if the whole deal, I got hurt at work. I got knocked off a ladder. That's how I fell down, and I ended up doing some nerve damage to my shoulder, and I had that bad concussion, and, it basically, as far as my life, it changed my life because, I had to, live a little bit cleaner life, Mm-hmm. You quit drinking the beers, like I used to, and mm-hmm. kind of, I got a little healthier, as far as, mentally and physically, and changed my diet, working, a lot more physical at work, and kind of just, I feel better now than I felt in years, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I believe it. I mean, making those changes, it's stuff that's necessary. What did your doctor say to you on your first visit when they diagnosed you with a concussion? You told them that you also drive derby cars.
My first visit, I couldn't even drive a car. They took my driving privileges away. I mean, I physically could not drive to the store.
Right.
So, wow.
I was off work for about a month, and. One day I decided, my wife was gone, and I was just going to go up to Dairy Queen and get some ice cream. And, I'm running down the road, and I'm thinking to myself, I was like, I'm not in control of this vehicle. Like, if somebody pulled out, I don't know that I could stop it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Huh.
So, so what did the doctor say when you went back and saw him earlier in the week, saying, I'm getting ready to go back into drive another demolition derby, and I just need a doctor's note saying that it's okay for me to do this?
He shook his head, probably.
Well, she said, you know, I don't know, I try to explain to her what the Demolition Derby even is, you know, and I'm like, yeah, we drive, you know, these derby cars, and we kind of run into each other.
Kind of run into each other.
Well, you know, yeah.
Understatement.
Well, you know what, I didn't want to say, explain to her that, you know, here we got 500 horsepower and these modified cars, and, you know, we run like maniacs. I mean, I didn't really want to go into, you know, extreme detail with the whole thing, but, you know, I tried to give her, like, an edited version, and, you know, she kind of, like, she said, well, you know, this is what you do if you love to do it, you know. You know, talking to me, you know, for the past 10 months, you know, she says that she seems to think that, you know, everything seems to be where it needs to be, you know.
Yep, you're crazy enough to drive a derby car. Congratulations, Scott.
Yeah.
Have
yeah.
fun. Here's your note. You left out the part. You left out the part where you go nose to nose with cars at 40 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
That didn't come up in conversation.
I didn't quite go into detail, but you know, she says, "Yeah, just be careful. You know, make sure you wear helmet, stuff like that." And I said, "Okay, thanks. Sounds good to me, right?"
Yeah. They just shake their head. They're like, doctors just shake their head and go. They just shake their head. They just can't. They can't believe it. Years ago, when I went for my MRIs, they were like, why are you getting migraines? Well, gee, I don't know. My hobby's, you know.
Car accidents.
Demolition derby. Well, what's that? Well, it's just, imagine getting in a motor vehicle accident.
For 45 minutes straight.
Yeah, for 45 minutes, you know. Oh, you guys only hit probably.
Get it, you know?
Yeah, you guys only hit probably 5 miles an hour. No.
Nope. 5 miles an hour doesn't let you park an Imperial on top of a Skylark.
No. No.
When my doctor asked me if I'd ever had a concussion, you should have seen his face when I said yes 6 times. He was a little taken aback, and he's like, "Well, have you ever lost consciousness?" And I said, "Oh, only twice."
Only
twice.
I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, all the conversation goes on around football. I mean, football is probably the most prevalent one, but you've got soccer players, you've got lacrosse players, you've got concussion injuries are nothing to screw around with. In demolition derby, Josh and I were talking about this on the flight back from Minnesota, that you look at these guys who get their bell rung in the car, and they're either knocked out or they're dazed. I mean, an example that comes to mind is Jimmy Johnson last year, Blizzard Bash, when he was noticeably out. And he goes, "No, I never lost consciousness." No, you didn't. You don't know that you were out, is what that is.
Right.
Obviously, there was head trauma of some sort there. To what extent, nobody knows, because he probably never went and got any type of concussion check. That right there opens the door for a second blow, where you smash your face off the steering wheel or something, and you can layer concussion so fast. And that's where this whole safety conversation comes in, that we've touched on a number of different times. What can you do to try and limit that? The more you hold the body still, the more the squishy parts slosh around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those total lines things. We always worry about, how can we make the cars harder? How can we make them last longer? How can we get more runs out of the car? And sometimes that safety stuff stays on the side. And I think that Scott should really be commended, not only for his win at Lorain County, but for doing it right and taking the time to make sure that he was fully recovered, even going so far to get another doctor's check before
for
getting
sure.
back into the car.
For sure. I mean, you got there's life after derbies. You know, everybody's got to go to work.
Yes.
You know, that Monday.
For sure.
You know, you got to go to work,
sure.
So.
Scott was really surprised when I told him. I said, "Your story is one that really needs to get out there." He goes, "Why?" I said, "Because it's a good story."
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's a good story. It's something that hopefully somebody hears us talking about this, and you know, you can call us sissies all that you want. But, you know, if you want to be able to do something other than drool on yourself when you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you know.
And there's more and more people that you see sit out for, they sit out for a year, sit out for whatever. They use different excuses, different reasons. I mean, that's, hey,
As long as you come back.
Yeah, I mean, you come back. I mean, and it sounds like you're a big part of derbying no matter what. I mean, just like myself. I mean, I'm a builder by heart. I drive, would I love, I would drive 10 derbies a year if I could, but I can't. But,
right.
You know, you just showed that, you know, you're in touch with it. You took the time out. You came back. You built a hell of a car, and you won. You know, you came back and won.
We'll get into that too.
Came back,
Steve,
with a flash.
What you got?
You know, I wanted to ask Scott. You know, Scott, we met you in Sturgis, Kentucky this year at the indoor derby with your son,
yeah.
Little Freebie, running the power wheels.
That's
were
right.
You there just supporting your friends, or were you doing a little homework maybe to run this year?
Yeah. I mean, so. I actually, the kid that won that derby at Costco that won the Smash It class, yeah, I actually built him a gas pedal, and he ended up using that, and, you know, he had it in his car when he won, and, you know, I went to that show a couple times. This was the second year that we've gone. I mean, it's just winter time. It's, you know, what better, you know, way to go see a derby than an indoor derby, right? Even if I got to drive to Kentucky to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's a good point.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then my, you know, they ran the Power Wheels, and my son loves that stuff, and so, yeah, he, you know, we took it down there, and he is able to run it, so he had a good time with it.
You know, his is one of the first built Power Wheels I've seen, with, like, the smaller wheels on the back and a decent bumper on the front. They seem to do pretty good for him.
Yeah, he has a lot of fun with that stuff, you know. He works on it, too, you know. I mean, he's about outgrowing the Power Wheels, and, you know, they're doing that youth class now, and he's, you know, he's chomping at the bit to do that. I mean, he's just a little young, but I just got to, you know, I got to try to just fight him back just a little while longer, you know.
There's a company in Minnesota that is an aftermarket Power Wheels manufacturer. Like, if you have a junk Power Wheels, you can send it to this place. And they are making Demolition Derby power wheels. I don't remember the name of the company, but they were involved with the show over in Wadena. And they have their own officiating staff that comes. They have a trailer that they bring that has all sorts of spare parts. And they just build, they mix and match the best wheel combinations. Yeah. So, like, if you want a particular type of wheel, they can make up to, like, a 48-volt battery for it.
Yeah.
They redo the engines to make the motors to make them peppier. I'm like, this is crazy. They'll stretch it so that adults can fit in them. They'll make them longer so adults can drive the power.
That don't even sound like fun.
Yes, it does to me, because I can't get the car anymore.
It sounds pretty crazy, actually.
Yeah,
you put digger tires on your Barbie vet and go wreck it.
So you saw it?
Yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they got their own custom molds and everything else. They're probably making their own stuff.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I heard of a company making, like, aftermarket gearboxes and gear cases for them.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty wild stuff.
Yeah.
I heard that a remote radio control car, a motor will work on those things, too. Like something off one of them Traxxas cars or whatever. I heard that'll work. I think, like, 18 volts, but I don't
know. I don't know, man. I'm not going there. I have no idea. I mean, you
wouldn't move my fat ass around, that's for sure.
in terms of the run over there in Lorraine, Chad Dyer, who won Erie County in Sandusky, he was there. Your buddy Rick Clark was down that direction as well. I mean, how tough was the competition there? We talk so much about Ohio. Now we're in the back half of the county fair season for that part of the state. And from all the pictures and stuff, it looks like there's still plenty of tough iron sitting around out there.
Oh, heck yeah. There's a lot of guys building hard cars around here for sure. You know, I got a couple guys that I run with, Nick Metzger and this kid, Stevie Holt. You know, they're younger guys, but, you know, they're getting really good, and, you know, as far as being drivers and builders go. And, you know, it's part of it, too, when you got a couple guys that you can run with and you can trust, you know, and they got your back and mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that, you know.
I didn't see the derby myself. Any footage? What brand do you run? Are you in the Vic squad, or are you a GM man, or what?
It was a 2000 Crown Vic P71 that I had. And, mm-hmm. We run the Fords. I like Suicide Lincolns and Crown Vics, basically. You know, what the hell Peter Hansen's doing with them GMs. Making you take a second look at those, you know?
Something GM should have done back in 1974. Kind of like what I would have done in the Mopar Chrysler factory back in the 60s when they were doing Imperials.
Yeah, I mean, I used to run Imperials, too. I've ran a few of those, and I was big into them, but I think that, you know, a frame car is actually better, I thought, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Chrysler, you know, Imperial's only got one good end, you know, and, I mean, the rest of the car's just like a beer can. I mean, the metal's poor quality, I think.
Well, until you get in the 60s. Until you get in the 60s with the box cars, now you got something because it's full frame.
Yeah, the box cars for sure. But like once, you know, whenever they went to the unibody cars, it just, you know, the
67
on up Imperials, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They basically, you know, they got the hard front end on them, and the rest of the cars, just the metal's, I think, worse than the Crown Vic. I mean, it's just, it's really thin, and I don't think it holds up as good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Crown Vic, they use that glue. They got all that glue holding it together. I think it's actually a tougher thing. It's actually a better, you know, end result.
Yeah, you can get that glue. You can buy that industrial glue. Epoxy. Yeah, two-part mix.
So you need about a five-gallon bucket.
That's funny.
I gotta stop talking. Everybody's gonna know.
I mean, I've got to think of, what are you doing over there? What? Scott's on Facebook. Talk to him about it there. Don't let everybody know. You know.
Yeah, and that's from my buddy Rick up there. He says that he calls them Chryslers. You know, like with a Z, a Chrysler is how he pronounces it. It's kind of funny.
Rick says a lot of things a lot different than the rest of us in the United States do.
Yeah. I'm not even sure it's from this planet, let alone this country, you know? Rick's on his own, you know, he's on his own thing. He's a great guy, though. I like Rick a lot. I've actually learned a lot from him, just, you know, talking with him and hanging out with him, so.
He's a pretty interesting dude. On the topic of the Suicide Lincolns, Mike Klinger had one each of the last 2 years at Hartford. Last year he got Mad Dog with it. This year that was a 2-door. This year it was a 4-door, and every time you can't count that dude out. Every time it looked like he was done, the thing would kick back over one more time, and he was out there making junk.
That dude's...
Let me tell you, suicides
are my favorite. I mean, them things are great. They're heavy. They you know, they outweigh an Imperial by, you know, probably a third. You know what I mean? That thing is heavy. You know. You put the bumper on that thing right, and, you know, you set it up, and that damn thing is nasty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've ran two of them, and, you know, and a lot of people don't believe me, but a Suicide and an Imperial go head-to-head, the Imperial is done, I think, you know what I mean? I've been on both ends of that. You know, I had a guy one time when I had a subframe, and I went head-to-head with a guy named John Ickes, and I lost that exchange, and, you know, and I say I've been in a Suicide and nosed them up, you know. You know, a subframe car with, you know, with the Lincoln. So, see, it's just that it's a heavier piece. You know, it's like hitting with a bigger hammer.
Uh-huh.
You know,
you just got to put a heavier cage in.
What were you saying, Steve?
And, you know, and then a guy that happened at our fair, at Lorain County Fair, a guy wanted to try to go head to head with Rick, and he lost that exchange with a clean car, clean subframe.
Nice.
At the end of the night, his motor standing like a, you know, vertical, you know, like his drive line's acting like a drill bit. You know what I mean? It's drilling the earth, you know what I mean? And that's just, and the guy was mad as hell about it, but that's just what happened, you know what I mean?
Hey, go back to drawing board.
Yeah. You were saying, Steve?
It's tougher piece, I think, anyway.
Mike Klinger ran that Lincoln at Lebanon, Pennsylvania on August 2nd, and he ran it in the stock class and won the stock class with the car, and then was able to fix it using the limited weld rules and brought it back for limited weld, and he really just told us he was bringing it back just because he wanted to finish it off and wanted to support the show.
Right.
So it was good to see him do well with that thing.
He did.
He did both.
The cars is just it's better. It's heavier. That car, you know, the cars, the sheet metal on the thing is about, you know, 10 gauge. You know, I mean, it's a heavy car, and the metal is just, you know, more dense. You know, what I mean, it's, in my opinion, anyway.
And for the number of Imperials that you've run, Ben, I mean, where are you on this conversation?
I'd like to have the same set of rules, and I'd build a subframe Imperial to whatever Suicide wants to go headlight to headlight. I'd do it any day of the
week. Scott, it's a good thing your head's better, because you got to find a Suicide Lincoln.
I'd almost be. I have two of them here.
Oh, you got two. You got good. Good. We're gonna be able to make this happen. We gotta figure out where Ben's gonna build that for. Tell him 2 years in advance so he has time to build the car.
I don't need 2 years. I don't need 2 years.
I'm not talking about a full frame Imperial. Full frame Imperial is its own thing. But, you know, as far as a unibody car.
No, I'm talking to 60.
Lincoln being a unibody and an Imperial being a unibody car. I just think that a Lincoln is superior.
Man, I'm talking to 67 or 8. I've had a lot of good luck. I've had a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you're not going to tie the sub to the cage, I'm sure I'll knock the sub right out of it.
Crash Course live stream grudge match. Let's do it.
I know we gotta. I gotta make some phone calls. We gotta figure out where we can find some neutral ground for you two, and this will be fun.
We need
maybe
time.
A new racetrack in Pennsylvania.
I know. I'm right there with you, Steve. Right there. Right there. I got that number on speed dial. We gotta make this happen.
I think it's not what it was. I think it's like a lot of legend goes with them, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, that's just my opinion.
What's that? I missed it.
A lot of legend with the Imperials, you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're living on their reputation. I see that with a lot of drivers, too. I mean, I've seen guys that won this year that maybe wouldn't have won if they didn't have a reputation as being as good as they are, because there's definitely people that didn't take a shot that they could have taken because they didn't want to make that guy angry early or something like that.
Wow.
Right, I've seen a lot of that too.
Shane said that's your own fault.
Yeah, that's shame on those guys that didn't take the shot. I mean, simple as that. I've seen a lot of big name guys
get a break, you know, always, you know what I mean? That just seems to be the way it goes, you know, like,
and if
they get spared, like people are like intimidated by a guy that has success.
Yeah, I can see where that's the case though, but I mean, you can't be upset if you don't win and you didn't hit the guy that won.
Exactly.
I mean, if you just avoid that guy and you don't hit him, that's a case for any car that's ever been built and ever been run in Demolition Derby. Yeah. You can complain because that car is superior, but if you never go out and hit it and find a weak spot on it, then really, what have you got to complain about? If you didn't hit it, then you didn't do anything to stop it.
Yep.
Right, Chris, for sure.
Mark the spot in your tape, Chris, so you go back and pull that clip out and save it in your clip quotes, you know, because that's perfect right there. That's one more dirty guy I need to hear.
That's, well, hopefully some folks listen to the show, because I think we've touched on a lot of good stuff so far, and we still got to get Wild Bill Orndorff here in a little bit and talk with him about Woodstock.
Oh, yeah, we're running out of time.
Scott, have you got anything else this season, or are you pretty much done for the year?
No, I'm probably going to try to run a couple more times. The car that I ran Saturday around Sunday, it's got a couple more rides left, and at least one more good one.
Right,
dude. He's just been released. What do you mean? Is he done for the year?
Yeah.
He's going to be running until there's snow on the ground.
I was pretty confident he was going to say, "I have intentions of running 12 more times." My flight for California leaves tomorrow.
Fresh car. I'm not going to do that, but you know, I'll try to run, you know, what I got until there's nothing left.
Right.
Well. Good luck to you, man. I really hope you find some more success. You stay healthy and keep riding this wave, because it's well deserved.
I appreciate that for sure.
We gonna see you in Topeka?
I don't know that I'll be able to make that work, and you know, we'll have to see. We're talking about trying to get there, but we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, I know when we talked to you in Sandusky, you were kind of on the fence about it. You want to go, but you're not sure if you can make it work. I was hoping.
When things get, you know, closer to it, I'll have to see where I'm at that point. Well, I'd like to try to go for sure.
You got
to
go. You got
to
go.
Yeah, Rick wants to run down there, so we'll have to see.
Oh boy. There's some good news.
Well, yeah, he would. You know what I mean? I think isn't that like a team show type of format?
It is a team, yeah, but I mean, there's individual elements too. There's an 80s class, there's an old iron class. I mean, there's plenty of stuff down there for Rick to find something to do. If you tell him all the classes that are running, he's gonna bring a 3-car trailer.
Oh yeah, he's got it too. He can haul 3 up there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna be there. He'll be in an Outlaw compact. A V8, and you know, one of the 80s Leaf classes or something like that.
The great guy that Rick is. He's funnier than hell.
Like, super dude. He's the one that told me about your win over there. I had lost track of that actually, and he said that you guys were running together over there at Lorain County, and man, he's like, you gotta catch up with him and let him know. I'm like, oh yeah, for sure. We'll definitely get a hold of him.
Did I tell you how I met Rick?
No.
I met him at a junkyard in North Carolina. Kind of funny. I was down there looking at some cars, and you know, they said, you know, the people they knew him a little bit. The people that owned the junkyard, they were like, "You know who that is, Rick?" I was like, "No, I never met him." I met him over there. We went to a derby that night. Down this place called Uari, but we became good friends. We kept in touch, and then just kind of,
Derby World's a small world, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. We pulled through the gate in Sandusky, and Rick Clark was sitting there. Seriously? Rick's here? I didn't know he was coming.
Cool. Yeah.
And then he turned around and he won the modifieds, just drove circles around the guys in the modifieds with his
That was impressive.
Yeah,
that
with
really
his bash for cash car. That was very impressive.
He put on a clinic there.
Very much so.
For everybody.
Oh, his bash car was hard.
Well, then he took...
That's the car that he ran the modifieds. He had to kick more kickers to that damn thing. And
he fixed it.
Quote, unquote.
There was a piece of box tube that went from the back of the gas tank protector to the top of the hump.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It looked like it took a giant hole saw or just got the torch out and just kept burning and burning and burning until there was a path. And there was just a big, big piece of box tube on both sides.
That's just for safety, though, Chris.
Yeah, that was driver safety in mind.
Didn't want nobody in his back window.
They weren't getting in there. They would have taken it. It was a tall task to get through that. Excellent.
They call out Bill.
Yeah, we got to go hold of Bill here. Scott, man, I appreciate it again. Congratulations, and look forward to catching up with you here. Wish you the best of luck with the next time out.
Okay.
Appreciate it, dude. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for the airtime or whatever.
Oh, you bet, man. No problem. It's always fun to catch up with you. I was excited when I heard that you won, and we were real quick in trying to book this.
Hey, Chris, I'd like to give a shout out to my wife, and
sure,
she'll probably be listening to the show later. But she I gotta just say that without her, I wouldn't be able to do none of this. You know, she's in my corner, and whatever I need, auto parts store supplies or whatever, tractor supply, whatever I need, she takes care of it for me, and she's supports me in whatever I want to do the whole way. So I want her to know that I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
It's good to have people like that in your corner, dude.
Yep.
You could probably make a whole segment on Dirty Wives, I think, and have some pretty interesting conversation, I bet.
Yeah.
It's something that we've actually talked about a little bit, trying to get, we need to get some Derby wives that aren't going to shy away from having a conversation like we do. Cause a lot of them, they just don't want to talk. They just get shy and they don't want to talk. But I think it'd be a lot of fun to get some of the Derby wives on and have conversations with them on the show and just have a whole episode of just, stuff like that. Cause I think that would certainly be interesting to get that perspective,
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. For sure, that would be fun.
Would your wife talk?
Oh, I bet she would. All right.
All right, good.
We'll put her on the list.
Yeah, well, she's on the list. So when we do that Derby Wives show, I'll get a hold of you. The real Derby Wives of Seneca County.
That's right.
All right, we got to get Bill, buddy. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. You guys have a good one.
You too. Yep. Take care. And there goes Scott Drevenek. Also, we need to make a mention while we're throwing thank yous and compliments out. We need to make mention on Scott's behalf of the medical staff that helped him, with the injury and with the shoulder injury and the nerve damage and everything. The situation that he was in was not good, and he was able to make a full recovery and ultimately got back in the car and came away with a win.
Dude, modern science.
There's no doubt that was something that was helpful in getting him back in the car, because. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he told me that story once before about driving to the local Dairy Queen and thinking to himself, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stop. He just felt like he was totally out of it in full. And that's it's a scary thought when you're driving a car and it occurs to you while you're in it that I don't know if I can control this thing.
Well, what's it say when a car's going to pull out in front of you and you say to yourself, boy, I hope he pulls out.
Yeah, that's not good either.
Some people might say that's anger management issues, but
I just want to smoke them.
Yeah, boy, I wish my 68 was on the road.
I'm glad he was able to get back in the car. I'm glad he did well. But when I got hurt and had to get out, it was like the derbies were taken away from me, and I didn't have any control over it. And I think when I got back into a car in 2012 and ran one more time, like, that gave me the closure that I needed. So Thankfully, he's doing okay. He's able to continue, but to get it pulled away from you and not have any control over that decision, I think sucks as a driver.
Yeah, I mean the path that he had to take was a long one, and it had to be a difficult one. I mean, thankfully, he's got enough buddies that are into the sport where he was able to be around the cars, and he didn't lose any. You know, you talk about those guys a little bit earlier, the guys that have gotten away from the sport, they stepped away and they stayed out and they didn't run and whatever. Those guys, one of the first things they say when they do come back, regardless of the situation that caused their leave, they say it's like, man, I can't believe how far technology's come in the year, or the 10 months and the 12 months, 14, 15 months that I was away and the gains that have come with technology. So it was good to talk with him. We've got Billy Orndorff on the phone. Congratulations, man, on your win down there.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Glad you come on and hang out with us here a little bit. How was the show down there at Woodstock, Shenandoah County Fair in Virginia?
It's a good show. It, you know, of course, like all the shows around now, the car count was down a little bit, like always. You know, it seemed to come to normal now, but a lot of the higher quality drivers and cars were, you know, still coming out like normal.
You've got a pocket of drivers down there that's absolutely fantastic. You've got the Gokenhauers down there, and I think there was a couple cars out of their camp that didn't come, but they still had Nate, I think, was down there, and then Shane Hammond drives down there. Donald Blevins runs down there. Really, really tough group of drivers. Mark Wolf and his wife ended up winning on Monday.
Yep.
You put all those drivers together, and they don't really shorten the track. So if you've only got 6-8 cars out there, you have all the room to work with.
It's a lot of room out there. Sometimes it's almost too much room. Trying to make hits and try to keep everybody, you know, see where everybody's at, keep track of everybody. Mm-hmm. It gets tough.
Last time you won down there was 2011?
No, I won in 2012.
Did you get a win in 2012?
Yeah, I got a win in 2012 too, yeah.
Okay. I knew it had been at least a year. They went after you pretty hard last year. What was the and got you up on the wall and got you out of the way so you weren't really in the equation in the final showdown? What did you do different this year? Did you take a lower profile? Did you just drive smarter? Make better decisions at the wheel?
Just drove a little better, and you know how it is. Luck goes your way sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. I had a real good car last year on Monday night, and distributor spun around on me and decided not to bring that car back, and I chose to bring another car back that wasn't as good, and we didn't get it finished. So
right.
That was my error from, I should have brought the other car back. We had a better car, and it just, you know how it is. When you get frustrated and everything, it just goes downhill. This year's went fairly good. We won at Harrisonburg 2 weeks ago, got a good win up there, and came home and had to build a new car in 10 days. We stayed up late like, you know, a lot of guys do to try to get done, and we got her done and took her in there, and we tied for second on Monday night. Got hung up with Donald actually on Monday night, and then last night we had the rain of the place. We was on top of the heap last night again. Felt good.
Nice. That's
awesome. To build a car for Woodstock in 10 days is no small task, because they essentially have, I don't even know, how would you describe the rules down there? Because you can, I'm not going to say that you can cheat your car, but the car that you bring down there has to be pretty heavy.
It has to be a good one to compete. Yeah, the guys, like you said, the names you mentioned, and a couple boys from Harrisonburg came up with real tough stuff with some Vicks and stuff that were real good. And, yeah, they have the ton rears in them, and we have a couple, we had a GAR engine running last night, and I've got a Baldwin running. And, you know, we've got the 40s flying Ford rears in them.
Yeah.
And, they're tough cars. They're right there with a what some people call an outlaw derby or something like that.
Yeah,
they're welded up. They're stiff.
They're welded.
Really? They're tough.
It's and the thing is at the end of the night, you hear that this is a heavy show. It's full weld. It's whatever. At the end of the night, everything is junk. Everything is just wadded.
Yeah,
everything
pretty much
is just
so.
Waffled.
If you do good, it won't be much left of it. Exactly right. It's, you know, the track, a lot of people comment how great the show is. It's because the spectators are so close. They're so close to the track. It's it's a horse track setup. You have a stage on one side, which ends up being the grandstand for the Derby, and the shoulders grandstand on the outside. And the front rows on both sides, literally the people bring blankets to cover themselves up and shield them from the gravel. And if you've ever seen any video from the Derby and you're looking down, you look down the car and you see everything that's going on. You see the guy, you know, bouncing around in there. You see him shifting. You see him doing everything in the car. And it really brings a crowd from, you know, the Derby crowd from a good ways away come to this Derby both nights and support it, because it is just a good show to watch with the seating being so close.
You got David Klein that runs down there and Wayne Good.
Yep.
On a regular basis. Wayne had a Cadillac last year. I didn't get the chance to get down there this year. We've filmed down there the last 3 years. And after the show last Wednesday, we went home and we got a phone call that we had to get back up to Buffalo as soon as we could. And complications with the aortic bypass that Melissa's mom was taking on. It took a turn and she ended up not making it due to some complications. She ended up passing away early Thursday morning. We ended up calling hours Monday and then the funeral Tuesday. So, I mean, certainly some condolences out to her and her family there. And it's been tough on everybody, you know, and it was really difficult to miss Woodstock this year. I really love going down there, and all those guys are always so good and hospitable and supportive and just a genuinely good group of guys. Uh-huh. But at the same time, it wasn't even a thought that I wasn't going to be with
the
family.
You're welcome anytime.
I miss it, man, and I was getting updates from Corey Rader as the weekend was going on, and it sounds like it was such a good show. Shane Hammond, how lucky were you to not get in his way?
What was that now?
Shane Hammond. I heard he was blasting stuff all over the place in the feature on Tuesday night, and you were just fortunate.
Yeah, that's how, you know, those guys, you know, they build great cars. They just haven't crossed that threshold to have luck yet. I mean, they just all the Gokinars boys and him too. They put so much time and money into the car, but you just need that last little element of luck, and they just haven't had it. And once they do, watch out, because you're not going to be able to stop them.
Yeah. How many times have you won down there now?
Oh, boy. Well, 1 year I won both derbies, Monday and
right.
Tuesday.
That was the first year I was down there.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I guess I've won it probably eight or ten times, something like that. I'm not sure. It's been so many, a lot of seconds, a lot of thirds. But my first derby in here was in 86. And like most guys, you know, it was off to a semi-slow start. But after we got rolling all through the 90s, we was real good, and we haven't stopped too much. We're still pretty good.
Nice.
That's awesome. White cars with red numbers.
That's
every
right.
Year. Every year. 1 year, was it last year that I think you had a GM and he brought it in the enclosed trailer?
Yeah, that was last year. We brought in, what did I have? No, I had a Newport. I've been running Chryslers with subframes on them is what I've been running. So that should have been a Newport last year. Newport, and then I had some other kind of Dodge on Tuesday night. But yeah, that Newport from last year, we put it together, and I ran it at Harrisonburg. And let's see, no, I ran at Winchester and won with that car. Then we hauled it to Harrisonburg and broke the gearbox, but we made the feature. Brought it to Woodstock, distributor turned in it, and we didn't make the feature. Hauled it up to Shippingsburg, Pennsylvania, against that tough-ass crowd up there, and got second. Swinger was a real hard night up there. We brought it home, patched it up. We took it down all the way down to Suffolk, Virginia, and we won down there in October with the car.
Nice.
That was the second win and second place. And then we took it to Harrisonburg 2 weeks ago, and I won that derby. That was the third win, and I got a second place in six runnings in that car.
Nice.
So where's the car now?
It's sitting out here all tore apart. We took everything out of it for the Woodstock car. That's the car that I had to take everything out of to get it in my Woodstock car for Monday and Tuesday.
Is the Newport going to get crushed, or are you going to build it again?
No, it's gone. It's gone. I mean, that car's been hit so many times, I hate to think how many times that car's been hit.
No.
It's gone. I mean, that's the thing. You know, they let us wedge them. They let us put these hard leaves under them, and, you know, sometimes you can get some runs out of them. And we did that call. We were lucky. We had to patch it back. I ain't lying. We had to patch it back a couple times to make her go. But, it always went through inspection just fine. And like I say, you got strong running gear, the rest of it, with those subframe Imperial front ends. You know, you can make them last.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, Bill, I believe I met you in Front Royal this year. Did you bring that same car from Front Royal to Woodstock, or did you have something else this time?
No, actually, I didn't. My son drove that car. And he didn't do too good. He ended up getting out there, and he ended up getting his he hit the steering wheel with his mouth and busted his lip open, and that was it. And then the second night, my friend took it. He never drove a derby before, so he took it in, and he got in the corner and Hammond laid it to him, and the other boys laid it to him, and that was the end of it. So he had a one-and-done Derby career. Then I had the new Chrysler. I had a Chrysler, a 66 Chrysler 300 is what I was driving last night.
Badass with a subframe, huh?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's the car I had over there. That was, you know, I tried to build that car as close as I could to run some less aggressive shows with the rules, and they just wouldn't take it. They just, you know, we didn't wedge it. We went with the welds, but you know, weld the door panels like this and do that, and they didn't want no parts of that car. So I hauled it around to two different derbies this year and never ran it. So we finally got rid of it in here at Wichita. He beat it up pretty good last night, so we'll probably just tear it apart. It had an old Chrysler 318 in it. That's a real good motor. And it, you know, just had some of my older parts and stuff in it.
So, yeah. So, Billy.
Well, I wanted to see. So, I'm sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
So, Billy, you'd be a good one to weigh in on subframe Imperial 67 to 68 Imperial versus a Suicide Door Lincoln. I don't know if you heard earlier our conversation we had with Scott. Was
yeah.
Scott's name?
We had Scott Drevenek on the show, and he said that he would take a Suicide Lincoln nose to nose with a 67 or 68 subframe Imperial.
And knocked a frame out of it.
And knocked a frame out of it. What's your thought on it?
You'd have a hard time knocking my frame up when you're
I'm glad you were on the same wavelength, because I was going to call bullshit myself on that.
I can say my car goes through the inspections, and you put them in there the right way. I like tipping them a little bit, like a Vic. Mm-hmm. I like blocking them up in the front and tipping them down and keeping that rail straight on that subframe. I found over the last couple of years that makes a big difference. And I wouldn't mind. I'd take that on. I'd take him in a suicide.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident myself. I mean, I've built a lot of subframe Imperials. I've had a lot of people buy my subframe Imperials who keep running them, wanting to know what I do to them. I've never lost a subframe out of a car.
Yeah. Well, I've seen boys that not get them in there right. You know, guys not get them in there right, but we're in the back. And what I like, if you don't tip them, you get your front nosed up, and that tends to pull the back of it out of the floor.
Yep, exactly.
My opinion, what I've loved, I'm giving some secrets away here, but you tip it about an inch and a half, 2 inches under the front, the frame stays a lot straighter, and it doesn't have the greatest chance of pulling out underneath the seat.
Yep.
Because when you're hitting, you're not trying to go up and back. You're just going back.
Going straight back. You basically, what it comes down to is you apply the 80s style build to the old iron, and you're going to have like night and day.
That's exactly right, and that's why I would that's why I'd venture to say that it'd be a good, you know, apples to apples. It'd be hard to do it, but yeah, it would hang in there. The best thing that helps the conversions now in those older cars and the Chryslers is that you can wedge the back.
Exactly.
You could not wedge the back. That's what you had to put in the corner. You put the rear in the corner, and you ran the front end all night. Now, since they've let us wedge them, I shortened mine up, and we wedged that back, and we put 3-inch 5/16 lease under the back, or 3/8 lease, whatever we have, and I can make a back last a pretty good while in those cars.
Wow. they thought we were drinking pretty heavily the first year we went down to Big Sandy Arena in West Virginia and ran our subframes down there. It was like the parting seas when we put the nose of them cars out.
I like to hear that.
No, we had a lot of fun down there, and then the trend caught on, so that kind of was a short-lived
You were no longer bringing guns to knife fights, huh?
Yeah.
No, we were going against some real tough Vics. I mean, Roy Turner was down there. He had a Vic. He was built a Lincoln, actually, not a Vic. It just great group of guys, Atkins and all the boys down there, and had a lot of fun. But I'm glad I wasn't, you know, he had me thinking I was out in left field or something, thinking my Imperials weren't going to hold up to a suicide.
But yeah, Steve, you're saying.
I wanted to recognize Scott too, because I'm sorry, not Scott. Bill, Wild Bill, you have that. What it was, a GM or Buick that you have as your driver that's all done up?
The Buick road car.
I got the 76 Buick Electra. It's a 60,000-mile car, original engine, everything in it. We bought it from down Southern Virginia, and I've always wanted to do it. But, yeah, we fixed her up. We put all the bolts in her. We put the rebar on the rims and even put a three-quarter ton 14-volt Chevy underneath of it with four 11s in it.
and we got propane tanks in the trunk, and we shoot 3-foot flames out of the hood, and it's street legal. We drive it around. We drove it all the way up to Bash. A lot of guys seen it up there, and everybody, man, everywhere we take it, they love it. A lot of pictures taken of it, even going down the highway. You get the thumbs up and all that, and I've had more fun in that car since we put it together in December than the last 4 or 5 years derby, and that's no lie. We have had a blast in that car.
When you're going down the highway, you ever spark off the stacks just going down the highway?
I don't want to get in trouble with it. I mean, you know, the cops know about it, and my nephew's actually a cop in town here. But, yeah, we've left plates and Dutch kind of stuff, and we've lit them up at, you know, a convenience store or something like that, or somebody at Walmart. I want to see the torches, you know, and we light them up. But, no, we don't go down the road and start causing trouble, no more trouble. I used to be in a lot of trouble when I was younger, so I'm trying to stay away from that now a little bit.
Dude, Halloween's right around the corner.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Between that driver, and then you always take the time with your actual derby cars, too. They're always lettered very well. Everything always looks professional. I know you have that enclosed trailer you use a lot of times. Just kind of wanted to reach out from our end and say thanks for taking the effort to be professional and to kind of be on that next level, you know, both for the drivers and the fans.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciate all your comments. Yeah, I mean, you know, younger I was, you know, I'm getting older man now where I try to give a little bit of advice to the younger guys and hey, that you're going to regret stuff. You better, you know, step back, count to 10, think about it a little bit more. So, yeah, I try to be a professional veteran as I can be, you know, not just in there in the ring, but also in the pits and also, you know, every day in life. So I'm pretty proud of what I've accomplished over the years and stuff. Still enjoy it.
Now you said on the topic of that road car that you've got that may end up getting stripped out and turned into a derby car at some point, or is that going to?
No, I don't. I'll probably never do that. Now somebody else might want to. With when I was a young man, we put 411s in race cars all the time and drove them up and down the road. Where boy, that's back when the speed limit was 55, everybody drove 60. Well, we put 411s in this car with that 3/4-ton rear, and it's got 9 leaf springs on each side, and that thing is heavy. It rides great. There's nobody believe me until they ride in it. Boy, you get out on the interstate, and that 38-year-old big block, it doesn't like that 75 and 80 mile an hour.
No.
So I'm planning on putting it up for sale here in the fall because I have another project I want to do this winter. And what that car really would need would really make it cool would be a small block Chevy with an overdrive transmission.
Yeah.
Right.
And now we really take it over the edge. Because, I mean, right now it's cool, but, I mean, I got everything on that car you could possibly do, I think, to a street car. I got bars down the back windows, and I've got a fake hole in the trunk, and I got a fake hole in the hood. You know, I got everything on there I can get on there, but it still has a 455 big block in it that nobody runs anymore.
This car has tabs welded off of the door. So when the door's closed, it looks like the door's actually welded shut.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So when you open it up.
Fender wells. I cut out the fender wells. I got metal bolted around the fender wells. I got, I got valve stem protectors on it, and the valve stem protectors are actually hollow gas line, so my man at the tire shop could still balance the tires. I mean, yeah, I work in the city. I live 110 miles from the city. I got a lot of driving time, so I got a lot of time to think about things, so. That's kind of how that car evolved, the years of going up and down the road. And I got about, I got 3 or 4 more projects I want to do before I become a real old man.
I got a few.
And that car was one of them. And then, like I said, I'm planning on just, I mean, if you could do a derby car, sure. But, I mean, you know, for what I had, I paid $1,000 for the car. So,
I got a
few. You know, the time I did everything to it, I would never strip it out the way it is. And it's too cool the way it is now.
Right.
Dude, you got to let me know when that goes for sale, because I can picture, I'll put my mom in it to drive.
Right. Oh, no.
Dude.
My wife won't get in it.
No, my mom would like
to. She will not get in that thing. We tried to trick her. Said, yeah, you go on down and drop your car off. We'll pick you up. And she won't bite on it. She won't get in that car.
Chris will contest to that. Oh. He knows my mom.
The thing is your mom, if you give her that, she's going to be hitting everything. You're knocking over mailboxes.
You're good.
You're going to be buying mailboxes left and right.
Yeah, no.
Just because, and she'd love it. Yeah. She would love it.
Yep.
You got to do that.
There's a good YouTube video, YouTube video. If you go in there and just Wild Bill Street Legal Derby Car, you go in there and watch us how we made it and pictures and stuff and the flame show and that kind of stuff.
Sweet.
It's very cool. So where from here? What's next for you?
For me?
Yep.
Oh, I don't know. I built a stock Buick. I got a, it's actually a 76 LeSabre. I have that in the garage, and we didn't quite get it done for a couple of shows this summer. And I think there's one or two more shows we might just try to finish it off, put it back, put it together with some parts off the other cars, and maybe take it and run it. And then that's probably going to be it for me for this year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to build anything. You know, Jason Scheib, I'm sure you know he's having a show in October.
But, when's that?
I'm not planning on building another car for that. I'm just burning out from the summer.
Now, hang on. Break that up for Jason Scheib. Tell me more about that.
He's got a show in October, I think it's 11th, 3,000 to Win at the fairgrounds down here.
In Shenandoah County.
Shenandoah County Fairgrounds, yeah. You can look it up or get with Sam or get with Corey. I'm pretty sure it's 11th, isn't it, Josh? No?
Okay.
It's October the 11th. And he's already got a couple guys coming from North Carolina, and I'm sure there'll be a couple coming from Pennsylvania down. They're doing the lawnmowers. They're doing the, I think they have a stock class. You know, it should be a good show. We're trying to support him. And a lot of guys, Sean Gokinar, he decided not to run his car on Tuesday night. He's going to save it for that show.
Done. I'll be there.
I know David Klein. I'm pretty sure David Klein's going to have a car, which will be a tough one. He'll have a car there. And hopefully it'll be a good show. Hopefully,
I got to talk to Jason.
As great as the fairgrounds is in here for watching the shows, hopefully it'll be a good show to put on, and hopefully he can build on it, and we'll have a good fall show for people to come to closer to instead of running to Ohio and running to Indiana and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. We're excited about it. I hope he has a good turnout.
Right now, we're looking at having 4 shows in October. I thought that the end of the season was going to be the 28th with Wheel Days. Now we're up to like 4 or 5 days in October.
Really?
I'll talk to Jason.
That one nerves.
Yeah. You want to go?
Yeah.
You want to go?
Yeah.
I know you want to go.
That's a birthday present for me.
Yeah.
I want to go.
You want to go? You got to come up from Florida.
I'm actually I'm working in North Carolina and Virginia, or West Virginia, from September 22nd to October 4th. So I'll be in the area.
You just got to stay for another week.
Yeah, I'll just put a tent up somewhere.
Put a tent up. Billy, you got backyard space you can put a tent up in?
I'll throw a blanket on the floor or sleep back somewhere. We'll find someplace to keep you. Put up and give me a call. Hell, you can sleep in my street legal car. It sleeps real good.
There you go.
Perfect. So, I mean, think about this. For September now, we're coming up on September.
Yep.
We're going to be home for Labor Day, and then home the weekend after that. The weekend after that, September 13th, we've got Morris and Weedsport. September 20th is the Lake Erie show. September, the week after that, I think it's the 27th, is Wheel Days.
Uh-huh.
And then they're still up in the mix with Woodbugger, what they're going to do with their Fall Brawl show. There's some talk about... into October now, in the second week of October, we've got this show down there in Virginia with Jason Scheib right there in Woodstock. Then I think it's the 13th is Fulton, and the 14th there's I think it's a Friday night somewhere in there, the 13th, 15th, something like that. They've got the season end cleanup show at the new Alex Lyon Club.
Oh yeah,
the Sciopa's show.
Yep,
they're going to be out there running whatever's left. I guess the Cadillac that they had in Hamburg, they're going to run that. Mm-hmm. They might be finishing that off over there. It's crazy.
It's November.
And then we get 3 weeks break, and then everybody in the country packs their stuff and goes to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
You coming out to Topeka? You going to go to Blizzard Bash?
No, me no.
Why? Why not?
Ain't no way.
Not to drive, just to watch it.
Yeah, well, I know, but it's just I couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that. You could turn a derby car into a street legal vehicle, but you can't find your way to Kansas.
We're just so busy, like I say, busy at work and that kind of stuff, and got to get caught up on everything that I let slide by here the last couple months with all these derbies. So,
well, if nothing else, plan on I hope to see you in October.
Yeah, yep, we'll be there at least watching. All right.
Cool, man. Well, I do appreciate you. And again, congratulations on the win.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
There goes. There goes Wild Bill. What?
Hold on.
What's your mom saying?
Oh, my God. Yes. I would buy it.
Sold.
That's awesome.
No.
Yep. Chris.
Yeah.
We're running a little late. I got to jump off. I got to run.
Okay. I'll catch up with you.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Yeah. We'll see you next time.
All
I think, programming note, I think we are going to take Labor Day off. I think we're not going to do anything that week. It has been a challenging month of July that has then spilled over and offered even more challenges as we went through the first part of August and with school starting up and everything. I think we're going to take next week and just rest a little bit, kind of catch our breath some, and get ready for September. We just kind of outlined the schedule a little bit. Weedsport and
Morris.
Weedsport and Morris are both September 13th. So that's sitting next, as it were. Kind of take a little bit of a breather, try and get through some of this pile of a video reel that we need to get through. It's just been such a, if we weren't at a derby, we were at a funeral, you know, since like Father's Day.
Yeah, there's I'll be glad when December hits and it's a new year, because it's this year's been hit with some bad mojo totally, and it's start the new year, we'll get to another year. And
it's rough when it's August and you're already looking forward to 2015.
Yeah, it is, but no. Before we go, I just want to say congratulations to everybody, Jamie St. Mary. I want to wish Brett did a great job. Just broken bell housings. I mean, everybody's just, it's been a rash of them. Tices, right?
Yeah.
Tices, they drove a hell of a show down there.
Did you see what those cars? I mean, there was nothing from the back wheels beyond, and the noses were stud.
Matt Gaskin Sr.
Picking up the win over
there. Awesome there. Junior, tough luck. I mean, I watched a video of the in-car GoPro, and he was mad. But, I mean, he lost a wheel or something right in the first, like, 7 seconds.
Jeez.
He was bummed out. And those two guys are just – I love having them guys come run our shows, because I bust Junior's ass and have a good time doing it, you know, and it's all in good fun. I mean, and the old man's right there just, you know, laughing right along with it, you know, and a great group of guys. Same thing with St. Mary's. So them guys are a great group of guys coming down, making that trip. And Jamie pulled it off this year. Yep. And them guys down south, that seems like it's going to be a hell of a show to go watch.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to put names to faces.
Yeah, and so many good guys down there. So many good guys. And I would hate for anybody to be offended that we missed them. I mean,
I'm not
a good group of,
yeah,
the whole group of guys down there is just excellent. You know, Brad Klein, he was running a full-size car down there for the first time in years, and he built it with his dad, and just the whole dynamic down there, just a really good bunch of people, and we've run into that all over the place.
It's wherever you go. You get wherever the derby is, there's another, you meet great new people, and then you go to another derby, there's another great new people. So I mean, it's wherever you go in the country, wherever you go to a derby, I mean, it's just, I shouldn't say this, I mean, wherever you go, period, because you go to Canada, you got great people up there too, you know. But it's just a great derby, as we said before, derby family, you know, and that's, everybody has a good time.
Yeah, the 11th is the second Saturday in October, and then the 17th, I think, is the new Alex show, and then the 18th is Fulton. So, I mean, there's three right there. It doesn't stop, and I love it. I'm glad it doesn't stop. I want it to keep going. It gives us lots of stuff to talk about in the magazine. Next issue is supposed to be coming out in about 3-4 weeks. Supposed to be out. I'm going to try to make that on time.
You got a lot of shit going on. If people don't understand that, then that's they're too bad for them.
Some people are very understanding, and some people are not. But it's part of the game.
Yep.
That's what we get to. I'm not trying to get preachy here, but I try to live pretty open. I mean, if you want to know what's going on, I'll tell you what's going on. You may not like it. You may not like the answer, but I'm going to be honest with you. And I mean, we live, you know, all of us, you know, Brian and Josh, when he's here, Steve and you, we're pretty open and accessible on here, and talk pretty candidly about the stuff that's going on both in the derby world. And we take everybody kind of inside of our personal lives too sometimes. And I mean, there's prime example, your mom's buying a car on the show.
Yeah. She says she wore her NDC shirt too while she's driving.
Nice.
So she is an NDC member.
She is.
And,
she is.
she can drive a hell of a derby car. My wife, my sister, my mom, I put them all in derby cars 1 year.
Imperials, as it were.
Mom was in a Grand Fury.
Oh.
That's her car choice.
Yes. It sounds like she'd be okay with a Buick, though.
She'd be fine with the Buick. Yeah. That way, she said the Grand Marquis, the Vic, would be turned into a derby car.
For you or for her?
Nah, it don't matter.
I think you're going to have to wait in line.
Yeah.
hour and a half. I think that's going to cap
it
for us.
Yeah, we pretty much ran it out.
Yep. Congratulations to everybody that won over the weekend, and it was a lot of fun catching up with those guys. Billy was good. Billy talked a lot. I forgot
his name.
Billy Orndorff.
He's a good shit. He's a good shit.
Awesome guy.
And non-derby topic.
Yeah.
Coach Brian, Coach Tompkins, I wish all his boys luck. With yes. the Pee Wee football, with a little football.
That's and, rally. Rally around this. They played a good second half, I read.
Mm-hmm.
Good second half.
No.
Play 4 quarters of that, they'll win some football games.
Oh, yeah.
That's where he's at now. He's still at got some midweek practice stuff, but that's – his schedule is going to be changing here.
Starts.
Yeah, that'll all settle down. And we're going to get back to some normalcy here. Like I said, we're going to take next week off, next Monday, just to sort of just – And then Brian will be back. We'll be back on Mondays, and things should be.
Yeah, I probably won't be here that following Monday.
You're going to be in
Iowa. Ames,
right?
Iowa.
Yep. So Brian has to be here.
I'll be in Ames, Iowa. Checking out Gene or Seed Genetics. My nephew is going to Iowa State.
Can you weld those?
That's far beyond me. He has an aerospace engineer as a roommate. So
really,
yeah. There's some certain IQ levels and that are right up there.
That's smarter than me.
Hey, all the power to him.
Smarter than me all day. But all right, I think that'll do it, guys. We appreciate you hanging out with us on this edition of the Crash Course. Coming up on 1 year. In about 4 weeks, it'll be somewhere around the 20th, 24th of September.
That went fast.
I think is 1 year already. So we got that to look forward to. We'll have to figure out who we're gonna have for special 1 year anniversary guests. You got any ideas? Anybody come to mind? I know Pete Hansen will probably come up. He'll wear a party hat.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to be on the 1 year episode, shoot me some notes. We'll line some stuff up. There's going to be tons of derbies still going on then. I don't know how we're going to do it.
I don't know. Maybe Josh will come.
Maybe.
It's 1 year.
Could be.
Maybe he'll come.
Could be. All right. We'll see you next time. That's going to do it.
See ya.